God is going to move in each and every need. We have a list on the overhead. And I challenge you tonight to just scan the list, squint maybe if you have to, and find a name on there that just stands out. And make that your challenge tonight, that I am praying for that name. I may not know the situation, but I know the God that can move in it. And we're going to begin just to pray for a need that maybe is not ours. And I have faith of believing that if we all begin to pray for a need that maybe isn't ours, somebody might be praying for your need. That there is a brother or a sister that is going to be praying for what you came in here struggling with. And I believe that God is going to move in somebody's life tonight. I believe that God can move on a Sunday night. I believe that God can move in your life on a Sunday night. And if you feel the need to step out in faith, if you feel encouraged that maybe I step out, I encourage you to step out in faith. Ministers anoint you with oil and pray with you and for you. And I want us to also have a specific prayer for the Drake family. As Troy Drake has passed away, pray for comfort. Pray for that family that God will minister Because I know they're a family that is close to this church. But our God is a comforter. He is the ever-present help in the time of trouble. And so right now, I don't know your need, but I know who our God is. And that He is going to move in exactly what you need. That He's going to make Himself evident. He's going to make Himself present in your situation. And all we have to do is just mention His name. So Jesus, I pray that you move right now. That God, I need healing in my life. That God, I need your comfort in my life. And so whatever it is, I pray that you minister right now to those people, to this church, to every need, every heart, every body, every soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
Call these lungs, she seems to care.
may be seated. As the ushers come, we're going to take our tithe and our offering. We have a few short announcements. At this next Sunday is going to be our church Christmas banquet. So if you had not gotten your ticket, is it still open? So today is the last day. So make sure that if you did not get it this morning, make sure you have your ticket purchased. You're able to purchase it on PushPay. But after today, that is closed. And we're going to take our tithe and our offering, and we're going to believe that God's got something in store for you and for me tonight. So Jesus, thank you for your presence. Thank you for what we have in store. God, I pray that you bless what is given and you bless the giver. That your word is anointed, but bless and anoint pastors. He delivers it and us to receive it and to act on it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Absolutely give you a confidence about your relationship with life. Sometimes we get words mixed up and they get a little loose. But one of the things that we must remind ourselves of daily, the scripture, God, who is our life. There is no life without breath. And it is God who breathed into us the breath of life. That doesn't mean we live godly. Doesn't mean we live holy. It just means that a certain amount of God is with you always. And it's amazing how that people expect God to do great things for him when he has been watching them all day long, has angels ready to revere his power structure. And so tonight I really encourage us to realize, and God woke me up about 3:30 this morning, and it was just a glorious experience. And so I'm going to share part of that with you, and the production for which he shared it with me. I would like to call this, Who is Going to Win? I can tell you simply, God and love are the same, and they are going to win. So you hear the continual statement about love in the Word of God. And I cannot push the subject too much. I have used it considerably the last year and a half. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's not to hurt somebody. But when we love everything out yonder and we prescribe that and we just sort of act innocent about it, we are to love two things, God and our neighbor. That's what the book said. And the fact that we utilize that terminology is actually denotes or gives the authenticity that you are filled with love, because you cannot love without having a spirit of love in your heart. So it's impossible to love your neighbor and love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength if God is not living there or love is not living there. But God is love, the Bible said. And so those kind of things are very important. He said to us, the little foxes spoil the vine. It is not enough to just have a certain level of dedication to God over here and not to have that same dedication in your daily life. And so just going to the house of God is not enough. We go here to strip away all of the negatives of life and to position the positive powers of truth that give you the freedom or the perfect law of liberty, so that we have revival all day long, every day. That doesn't mean you feel like jumping around every day. That's just part of life. When you have a victory, yes. But what do you think Gideon felt like? He garnered 32,000 people, got ready to go to war, and only had 300 left. Don't count on numbers getting it done. Count on people with faith. And 300 out of 32,000 won the battle How do you think they felt? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to shout if you know without a doubt that inside of you is a living God, and no weapon formed against you can prosper, and the wealth of heaven is not penalized by the world that God created. He is going to judge the quick and the dead. That is true. But prior to that, he is going to have a bride, a partner, a people that love him like he loves them. And he is going to satisfy every need. He is going to satisfy the obedient. He is going to satisfy the worshipers. He's going to satisfy those that care about their neighbor. Could we pray right now, God, take your liberty in my mind, in my heart, in my hands. Would you pray that? Praise God. Praise God. So tonight, I come to you with a part of what God began to work in my mind and in my heart. And I will not be as lengthy as I probably need to be, but I'm just going to start right where God woke me up to, and that is, who is going to win? God, love, both of them are the same. So then he started talking to me about life and what's really going on. And so he said, the trial of your faith worketh patience, and that patience worketh experience, and that experience worketh hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. I have preached the word ashamed many times over in the last 6 years because it's really been a categorical thought, and that is, hope is something you don't have, but you know you're going to have it. Now, that's why he said we're saved by hope. He doesn't say you're saved by getting the Holy Ghost. He says you're empowered by getting the Holy Ghost, which gives you the liberty to be a victor, an overcomer. But utilizing it is a powerful thing. And so tonight, we are looking mainly at the word faith. And so when God and I began to have this big conversation, he said it over again. It's from his book, The Trial of Your Faith Worketh Patience. Anybody ever wanted it to hurry up and happen on the miracle end, the financial end, the friendship end? We all have that momentary feeling, well, why don't God answer my prayer quick? That's why he said, faith worketh patience. And that patience begins to create an experience. And the experience is that as you wait upon the Lord, you renew your strength, because by waiting and letting him provide the provision and the power structure, that all of a sudden your patience has let him perform the big platform of elevating your mind, your heart, your life to a level where people look at you and say, man, how'd you do that? How'd you go through that? What made you think of that? Well, I'll tell you what made me think of it. I've got a God up there that knows my thoughts. I've got a God up there that has an answer for every problem I ever have. There's a God up there that will send angels down to heal my mind or my heart when I have a broken heart or when I have a disturbed thinking pattern. And that God has just kept on doing what he said he would do. He never has let me down. I've gone through all kind of hellish moments. commandments. But the God of heaven, hallelujah, he honors faith. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, how to do all of that stuff. Give me a pastor. Give me an evangelist. Give me a mother. Give me a dad. Give me a people. Oh, let me have my way, and I'll give you a way that seemeth impossible. I am the lamb slain, and I am the lion of the tribe of Judah. But more than that, I am a savior. And I will restore to you the joy and the peace and the righteousness that the demons that put thoughts in your mind that sound satisfactory to this stuff, flesh. There's only one way to get everything you really want, and that is to serve the Lord with gladness. You make me so glad. You called me out of the slimy pit of pathos, jealousy, envy, strife. You called me, and all you're asking is to say thank you every day and to look and follow your way every day, and you'll just keep it going. Is that what you're saying? I'm here to tell you that's what he's saying. But it takes faith to do that. It takes faith that says, I will not turn loose of the word. I will not turn loose of God's way. I will not turn loose of the love. I will not turn loose of forgiving my neighbor. I will not turn loose. Hallelujah. I will turn loose. Of doing everything he said. I will not turn loose of the word, because the word is a highway to the glory of going through the grave and not stopping in hell. The grave is Sheol. So the trial of your faith worketh patience, and patience worketh experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. The UPC of Paris, Texas, and I'm just reading it off just because I could not write it quick enough, and I put it all down during the night. The UPC of Paris, Texas is going through the trying of our faith. Every man shall be tried as by fire, the Bible said anyhow. So it should not be a shock to us to experience some of the things that are going on in our mind and heart. Don't you let the grace of God frustrate you. The grace of God does not frustrate us. That's what faith does. Faith puts everything with an anchor, and that anchor is Jesus Christ the righteous. He's an anchor of our soul, and our soul is what really matters, because you're not going to take that flesh body with you. Then you're going to suffer some of that. But man, I'm telling you tonight, when you live in the Holy Ghost and you walk in love and you walk in faith and you constantly are praising God for the breath that he put in you, I can tell you that the angels of God are going to swarm around you. But when you violate any of that, you're going to find that your weapons of warfare are limited, because you're looking for flesh ways. You're looking for somebody out yonder in the world to quit bothering you. You're looking for somebody in the world to make you peaceful, because you don't like the way they do your life and the way they do their kids and the way they do their family. And that's why Jesus Christ said, I have come that you might have life, and I laid my life down. And so I'm expecting you to lay your life down, and we're going to get together somewhere at a cross, and we're going to get together somewhere at a resurrection, and we're going to get together somewhere in a holy city, and we're going to get together somewhere ruling and reigning with him. Could somebody stand and give him the praise that he deserves on this Sunday night? Hallelujah. God bless you as you're seated. I want to say it again. Every man, I wish you'd look at your neighbor and say, that means you. Every man shall be tried as by fire. When he began to talk to me about that, I sort of had this little feeling like, well, the people might not like that, God. That's just sort of a feeling that got a hold of me. So then he says, let me just tell you how it is. Every man shall be tried as by fire. Don't think of this as some strange thing, as if the early pioneers didn't go through it. The people that gave you hope, they went through hell. The people that brought us into this world, every mother went through hell as she began to deliver that baby. That's no big fun thing. It gets fun when they get about 25 and get out of the house. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a real God, a real world, a real heaven, a real hell, and a real life. And I don't want somebody playing games with my mind. I don't want some preacher giving me a half-hearted suggestion about what might work. I want to know the truth, how I'm going to get through this world, how I'm going to overcome the wicked one, how I'm going to satisfy the holy one, how I am going to please him. Somebody tell me how to get through this world. Well, there's only one way, first of all, and that is to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of this whole show. And then love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. We don't wait on our neighbor to please us. We wait on God to give us. Because he said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I want you to ask your neighbor right now what I really wanted to start with as a statement. Are you really going to win? Are you really committed to winning? Because that is going to be a posture that you take and that you do what the book said. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on. Not a verse. Not a chapter. Lay hold on the word. The foundation of everything. This Sunday night ought to be one of the most redeeming moments for us and our neighbors. This Sunday night ought to be one of the most evangelistic parts of our experience for this upcoming week. Not tomorrow, not today after tomorrow, but tonight before I leave the covenantal offer and altar of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I want to put my abilities on the altar. I want to put my heart on the altar. I want to put my mind on the altar. I want to offer a sacrifice of praise. I don't want to wait till I get a good feeling. I just know you love praise. And so you said, praise the name of the Lord in a dance. I'm not waiting on somebody to give me a little music to make me try to get satisfied with a little jumping jiggy. No. He loves praise. He understands praise. He understands worship. He understands the clapping of your hands. He understands the singing of your voice. He understands the hallelujah and the amen. He understands we're walking with him. We're working with him. And we're not giving in. We're not giving up. Let the world say what they want to say. We're walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's none beside him. There's none like him. You're going to teach that little baby grandbaby pool? Keep her out of a pool. But keep that name clean. Oh, my heart burns within me as I walked through that night and I realized and I began to study a whole lot more about faith. And I'm not going to take a lot more time about faith. I'm just going to say a few more things about faith. Hebrews 11. Faith. Somebody say, we understand. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word. So faith is what Abel offered unto God. He did it by a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, which he, not they were brothers, but he's the one that obtained a witness that he was righteous. All the way back in their life, righteousness meant something spectacular. That's why the King of Kings said, righteousness, peace, and joy is what I'm going to put in my spirit and in the word. And as you obey those spiritual virtues, you're going to experience excellence. Enoch was translated by faith that he didn't have to go through the graveyard. He never was found. God had translated him far before his translation. He had this testimony. He pleased God. He pleased God. That's what faith does. Faith says, I don't care, flesh. You're not going to keep me from clapping my hands. Flesh, you're not going to keep me from worshiping. Flesh, you're not going to keep me from obeying the word. Flesh, you're not going to keep me from loving my neighbor. Flesh, you're not going to keep me from dancing in the Holy Ghost in the presence of the Lord. Flesh, you're not going to keep me talking in tongues. Not keep me from talking in tongues and let me damn my neighbor. No. I am going to love the Lord and I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. I don't want anybody penalizing me. I want them to come to me in the spirit of meekness and fear and say, Pastor or Sir or whatever you want to call me, and say, look, I saw you violate the word of God. That in spirit of meekness and fear. It's a whole lot easier to gossip than it is to go to somebody. I am trying everything I can before the last of my heroism in preaching into the Paris, Texas. I am trying everything I can. Dig it up, God. Don't you let me leave here with scars and pitiful things and pathos. Let me preach the word and let them know there's a highway that goes straight to the glory world. There's a highway, a highway that goes from the laws of sin and death. Hallelujah, all the way through a graveyard, and it always gives people a brand new body. Hallelujah, that's filled with holiness and righteousness and purity because they denied the flesh. That's why ladies dress like ladies, and that's why men dress like men, and that's why men act like men and women act like women. Ladies and gentlemen, this is no time to be letting the enemy beat you up about anything. If it's the word of God, hold on to it. Use it as a sword and carve away all the feelings and thoughts that cause you to violate that word. So the Lord said, don't think of this as something strange. Look through the Bible. And I won't be taking a lot of time with that. But I did fight the good fight of faith. I wish somebody just sort of hold your fist up and just let the devil know. Let the spirits of flesh know. You're not going to keep me from fighting for my rights in the holy city. My rights belong to Jesus. And Jesus is why I got baptized in the name of Jesus. Without the name of Jesus, there is no salvation. Without the Spirit of Jesus, there is no salvation. Without the Spirit of Jesus, there is no holiness. Without the Spirit of Jesus, there is no future. I'm here to tell you that in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's not an argument of Pentecostals against other religious systems. It's a truth. It is a way. And where there seems to be no way, there is a way. And that is the way of the Lord. That is the way of the glory. That is the way of the blood. That's the way of the work of God. And the being born again of the water and the Spirit is not just a Pentecostal thing. Being born of the water and the Spirit is being a faith activity. I want to be forgiven for anything. And you can get forgiveness if you have, if I come across something and you need forgiveness for it. Don't wait till the altar service tonight. Go ahead and just tell God. Hey, thank God for a pastor that cares enough to reveal to us what we need to get through this rest of this world. This world is not my home. The writer, songwriter wrote it right. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. What does it really mean? It don't mean to become a member of the United Pentecostal Church. Now, to be a member of the United Pentecostal Church, it does necessitate a faith that believes that we are to be baptized, as the Bible said, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, and we will receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in a heavenly language. That's what happened to Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's what happened to the brothers of Jesus. Why would we want to try and why would we tolerate people out yonder that need us? You are the light of the world, and your faith, hallelujah, goes out there and says to the neighbor, I love you, sir. Well, why do you love me? Because He loved me. And now He lives in my heart. And so now, good gracious, I didn't realize you'd grown so much. You've been eating a lot of beans, rice, potatoes. Boy, don't you love this young man? Woo! Would you like to sing a song? Hey, we just brothers and sisters down here. Ain't no big I's and big U's. I don't care how big the preacher is in the pulpit. There's no big I's and big U. I'm here to tell you, if you're a child of God, you're just the same as the others. There's no big deal about it. But when you violate the Word of God and you lose your faith, you violate your future power structure. That's why we have preaching every week, because this world is trying to pump a bunch of junk through TV, through all kind of media systems. This world is trying every way in the world. The enemy, Satan, is a liar, and he tries to make us think we're doing good when we see a good whatever. There's nothing wrong with some things that come up on visuals. But be sure and be careful, particularly of those that are not of understanding. They still have feelings. When they see sex pictures on TV, they feel something. Preach it! But we ought not to have a television that offers our kids a life that's pitiful. They ought to be able to be disciplined to songs that lead to extravagant, lustful thinking. I've tried to say it in a lot of different ways. But when God began to deal with me during the middle of the night, and he began to tell me, you owe these people what they want, not what they, what they need, not just what they want. He said, I want you to preach to them the way, the truth, and the life, that none of them stumble or fall in this last day. He said, preach it. He said, I will be with you, and I will be with them. And when they look up, and they lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting, and when they offer a dance of powerful praise, and it's not filled with just a physical thing, but their heart is pure, and I can sense that the light is on in their heart, and they want me to understand without a question that I am clapping my hands, I'm praising the Lord, I'm going to prayer every day, and I'm coming before the throne, and I'm coming for the King of Kings, and I understand that when I come to prayer, I am in the presence of the Almighty God, and it is not something that I just want to hear, just whispered to. You can whisper it, he said. That's not a problem. But when it's just a statement and that's all it is, it sounds like something joyful. No, he said, let with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, obey the voice of God. Obey the way of God. Obey the way to worship God. Obey to live your train your children and to train your neighbors and let them know we're not just a Pentecostal. That's an easy way to go. We want to tell you how we really got out of this mess called sin and iniquity and darkness. I tell you, we've been joining and enjoying the light of the gospel for years. We've been finding out there's no valley too deep, and there's no mountain too high, and there's no victory impossible. There's a way for every one of us that we find out through obedience. That's how we find out. So he said, endure hardness as a good soldier. It is tough by times. That's why he said, fight the good fight of faith. Endure hardness. It's times when you don't feel like obeying. But he said, if you don't obey, you start hardening your heart. And then you don't even want a preacher eventually. Then you don't even want to go to a house called the house of God. And the first thing you know, you're just enjoying life at the expense of a future that you're going to be extremely disappointed in. It's called hell. You think it's hell now. No, hell is torment. And there's a lot of hell going on around you. And there's a whole lot of us that can get out there and do the work of God and do the will of God. And I am praying that with everything in us, that we don't allow our feelings to stop our faith in God. Bible said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Every day, we need to turn up the audio in our mind, our heart, so that he can tell us that that's not a good way to handle that. This is the way to handle that. That's why we study the Word of God, so that he can get out of the pantry of our mind and our heart and our life and say, look, forgive them, just like a guy forgave you at Calvary. And you forgive them before they ask. And they're going to be shocked out of their mind that you have peace enough and power enough to structure your life, that they can cuss you, they can lie to you, they can do all of that. Now, that doesn't mean you go ahead and walk with them. He said, company not with those people. That doesn't mean you don't go to them in the spirit of meekness and fear. But company means join. That's what he means. And so on this Sunday night, God is trying his best to create for us more future. Pretty much everybody here, I've tried to look over the crowd, pretty much everybody here already knows everything I'm saying. And actually, pretty much all of you, the best I know, act upon it. But the preaching of the word activates a activity level of us helping others. And so we help others. And so Jesus cried out. I put it in my notes because I didn't want to forget it. Jesus on the cross cried out, why hast thou forsaken me? So often we just throw that situation out there. But you got to understand, Jesus was stripped. When he began to deal with me in the middle of the night about being stripped, that's not going to save my neighbor. Not taking my shirt off. But I'm pretty much stripped right now. I don't have anything I can give anybody unless you wear a size 32, 30 pants. No. But I tell you what I do have. I have a God. I have a God. I have a Holy Ghost God. I have a righteous God. I have a pure God. I have a loving God. I have a forgiving God. I have a God that will take away wrath and anger and doubt and fear. I have a God that feeds me every morning. I have a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. Not only that, David, can you get on my back? Oh, God. Yeah, you're going to make it. Bear one another's burden. David loves this church. Man. Don't you?
I do.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
You love people way over there? Even the ugly ones?
Hey, everybody.
Oh, God, we are the body. We're not just some great guy up there and some great guy over here or nobody. No. You're my sister. And even though she's your daughter, she's my sister. Brother Tanner, would you stand up and see if you can find somebody over there to get them to smile at you? Way over there, like Logan or somebody like that. You know, it's big. Logan, have you got anything to stand up for and shine back at him? I can tell you, neither one of these guys have to work at those smiles. That's the reason I'm using them tonight. I'm telling you, about any day you want to, Logan is going to smile at you. About any day you want to, even the plumber's going to smile at you. This one's going to smile because he sold you a car. This one's going to...
Come on, folks. The church is the body of Christ. We ought to be having the most fun of anybody in the world. The reason we have separated ourselves from the world is we want a bright light. We want the glory of the Lord to shine in our voice. We want it to shine in the way we live. We're not doing it because we're Pentecostal. We're doing it because we're godly. We're trying to impress the Lord, who is about to come back and to receive us unto himself. I'm here to tell you tonight, there's a glory cloud hanging over this place. There's a glory cloud going to be over your car. There's a glory cloud going to be at your house when you get there. Wherever faith goes, the glory of God goes. If it's faith in God. He never breaks down, but your car does. He never shuts down the electrical line, but the storms do. All you got to do is have a tornado, and all of a sudden, your house is ripped apart. But when you have a serious sinful situation happen in your world, and things are ripped, we have a knowledge of how to heal that. We can be restored, and we can restore one another. Do you have anybody right now you'd like to pray a prayer of faith over? Just whisper. Don't make it out loud. But call the name of somebody right now while this faith activity is just flowing like an oasis in this house. And pray that God would send angels to their home tonight. Right now, would you do that? You don't have to pray real loud. Just pray. Because the prayer of faith shall save. Musicians, why don't you go ahead and come? While we're just doing a little praying right now and cleansing and just letting the glory of the Lord just feel this. Does anybody not feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight? I'm telling you, there is a river of living water that is flowing through this congregation. I've been watching your eyes. The Bible said the eyes, the candle of the body. And I've been looking and I've been watching. And almost everybody in this house has looked up at one point or another, sort of gazing over into the future of our life. That's what we're looking for. We don't go to church to go to church. We are the church. We are coming to the house of God to get renewed and to get restored and to get more understanding and to get more knowledge, so we have a wider path and a glorious ability to help those people out yonder that are suffering in all kind of manners. We are going to go like an evangel should. We're not going to just trying to get somebody that's already got the Holy Ghost to come eat with us. We're going to eat with the sinners. That's what Jesus did. He ate with sinners. He worked with sinners. He came to sinners. And that's why I got in on this. He came to my world. And he said, I want you to be my disciple. And if you'll consecrate yourself and follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. And you will do what I did for you. It's gotten so easy just to try to invite people to the church house. They need to know a little bit about it before they get here. Is anybody in this congregation, first time you ever came to a Holy Ghost service, you were sort of shocked? Would there be anybody that would raise your hand and say, I'd never seen anything like that? Running the aisles? Dancing? Talking in tongues? Well, so there's two things I'm going to ask of us as we move into our future. Number one, make it a priority to find a neighbor and just care about them, talk to them. But with the heartbeat, I'm going to share with them what my life is really all about. Because our life should be what he said, God, who is our life. We've transformed the general breathing and the general activity of the brain. Here it is. The way. The truth. And the light. And the life. And so, we... hide the word in our heart and in our mind. And then when we see a beautiful young lady that looks like she wants to walk with a great life, we don't take it out yet. We just shake her hand and let her know we're glad she's at the United Pentecostal Church. The tendency is now to open it up and go tell this couple over there, if they don't pray an hour a day, they're not going to make it. See, that's a tendency. No. We go to them and tell them. You know what I found in this book? I found that it says pray always. So what I understand now is that wherever I am, keep an ear. Because he may see that I'm about to do something that would not be best. So prayer is a two-way street. That's why we get the Holy Ghost, because it's Christ in you. And the spirit of prayer is a strong thing. And so prayer leads us to truth. And then when we have truth, truth take off and just gently go around. We fought real slow because I'm fat. I'm real slow. We follow truth because we follow him, and he is the way, the truth, and the light of the world. And so we don't just go on and talk about movies and stuff like that and not talk about the kingdom of God and what it's doing. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a reason that nobody had a TV in the United Pentecostal Church for years. Not just the United Pentecostal Church. Any tongue-talking, Jesus' name baptized people did not have a TV in their life. Matter of fact, I can remember when I was a young man, we didn't even turn the radio on if it had songs of the world on the radio. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about getting barely through the gate. I'm talking about running the race that is set before us. And we, hallelujah, are looking for a crown of righteousness, which the King, the righteous judge of Lord, the Lord of glory, is going to put on your head at the white throne judgment and say, here's your record. The angels have been writing your daily diet. The angels have been recording the way you treat your neighbor. The angels have been recording whether you worship things or God more, which was the priority. We are thankful for bread. We are thankful for good beds. We are thankful for cars. We are thankful for air conditioners. But we don't love that world. We love the King, and we enjoy the world. We are thankful and grateful for some nice things, but we love God with all of our heart, and we clap our hands with passion, and we dance unto the Lord because that's what he wants. Say, Pastor, I didn't just start this. Are you really going to win? Are you really geared for winning? Where's that woman of yours? Can you find her? Do you love that old man? I know he's not old. I said O-L-E, old. Ladies and gentlemen, this is no time for us to wonder if we love all of the brothers and sisters. we don't get ticked off in the sense. It's the weakest hurt I've ever had from her. See, it's pretty easy to say something when the Bible said the tongue is a fiery thought and thing. And so you want to always be able to look at wonderful little ladies and wonderful young men, putting your arm around them and saying, let me tell you, I used to live out there in that world. And I found a way to get into a new social system. And it's a spiritual kingdom. And that's why he says, study to show yourself approved of God. That's why he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It's not about inviting them. You know what a newcomer would do? They'd never seen a preacher do that. They'd think y'all had lost the lunacy of a man. Every now and then, when the service gets going and the spirit starts revving up, a good holler or a shout of triumph, that's what the Bible refers to it, is a wonderful thing, because they can understand you are on top of things. The scoreboard says it all. I didn't fail to love my neighbor yesterday. I didn't fail to give praise to God yesterday. And when somebody, hallelujah, is walking with that Messiah or the messianic truths of God, all of a sudden I realize if I'm going to win the race, I got to run the race. And running the race means I got to leave the world behind me. I'm not against people. I'm against the world. The world's trying to reach out and get me. Set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I don't want you nor her to get used to some of those pictures that some of our kids are seeing and wondering why the preacher preaches so hard. Somebody say when. I wish somebody would say it like you're planning on doing it. We're going to win the race, baby. I've watched your grandma and your great-grandma, and I know both of them. And now your mother is being trained. Thank God every day for a praying mother. Mother, keep it clean. Keep it pure. Be careful. Don't let your tongue produce gossip. Don't let your tongue sing songs that have negative influence. That doesn't mean that every now and then you're going to have your radio on and a car song comes in and you may know the person. Not everybody that sings gospel songs are truly holy in their life. And some of them have been written. I happen to know one that wrote some of the greatest songs in the world. And I know why. Because while he was an extreme sinner, he knew that gospel people like good singing. And so the song itself had meritorious, wonderful praise in the middle of it. And so you just don't want to get carried away with the writer. But you want to thank God for a song that can lift up His name, lift up His spirit. And I thank you, young leaders, for our young people that are growing. Can y'all give them a little hand clap of praise? Thank y'all for living godly and carefully with the way you live. Would some of you elder mothers stretch forth your hand toward one of our younger mothers and pray, God, keep the faith alive in their life about the Word of God. Keep the faith alive in the way they dress, in the way they talk, in the way they live. God, keep it alive. We're not just going to a local assembly. We're coming to hear, to touch base with the one who created life, who gave us truth, who gave us future, and is going to come back and get us and give us a brand new body. Go ahead and sing. And anybody that would like to, I'm just going to cut the rest of it off. I encourage you to read the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and know without a doubt, I'm going to fight. I'm going to keep fighting the fight of faith. I'm going to lay hold on the rest of my life. I'm not going to let my life run me. I am going to give God the chance. Does anybody like to come down and travail over some lost souls?
Hello, joy, hello, love, hello, strength, hello, hope, it's a new horizon, yeah, hello, peace, hello, joy, hello, love, hello, strength, hello, hope, it's a new horizon.
We made up our mind.
You are. Joy.